With me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 10. We'll begin reading at verse number 39. I said a while ago, I don't know how the preaching was going to be, but I made a mistake. I want you to know, because the preaching is going to be great.
Amen.
Why is that funny? I know it's going to be great. I guarantee you it's going to be great. Because I'm preaching from the Bible. And I'm going to be preaching about Jesus. So it can't help but be great. That was awful weak, but we'll let you get by with that. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 39. The Bible says this. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much servant, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come before you today, we ask that you would bless, Lord, the reading of the Word of God, Lord, not on this passage, but the other passages that we'll read. We pray that you would bless that. Lord, you would use it to speak to our hearts. Lord, we sure do need something from the Word of God this morning. We need your help. Lord, I know I want to be used of you this morning. And Lord, as I've thought about other scriptures this morning about how, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And when I'm weak, then you're made strong. And so, Lord, we'd ask that you would just bless. You'd just take over the service here this morning. Thank you for the good spirit that we've already had, the good testimony. Lord, the good singing. Lord, we believe that everything here this morning has lifted you up and magnified you. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for that. And I pray that, Lord, the message wouldn't be any different. Lord, it would lift you up. And Lord, it would cause people to want to love you and, Lord, get closer to you today. And we're sure going to thank you, Lord, for what you do in our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we want to think about the main lady in this passage of Scripture and two other passages that we're going to look at. Mary is one of the great ladies of the Bible. And as we look at her and we look at her life, we're going to see some things about her life that hopefully is going to help us to want to be more like her. And I tell you, if I could have a prayer answered this morning, it would be, Lord, please make me more like Mary. I sure would like to be more like her. Now, there's another lady in this passage, and that's her sister. Her name is Martha. Sometimes Martha kind of gives a hard time. We give her a hard time because she's serving and Mary is sitting. And so we look at that and we think to ourselves, well, man, she's not doing her part. She's not doing what she's supposed to. But can I tell you, if you look at this, you see, I believe they're doing exactly what the Lord would have them to do. I believe they're both involved in ministry. I believe they're both working hard. They're both doing what God would have them to do. And by the way, can I tell you that both of these things are needed in the ministry? You need people that will labor, and you need people that will work, and they'll serve with all their heart. And I mean, it'll just be something that consumes them. But you also need people that will get away from that, break away from that, and they'll spend time with the Lord. And they'll be sitting at His feet, and they're going to want to show and demonstrate their love for Him. You see, Martha is serving. And as I think about as I was looking at the message here and I was thinking about going over my notes and different things, it dawned on me that, you know, if I had to be honest, I'm more like Martha is than I am Mary. And it's kind of like when we have activities here at the church, you know, I get involved in all the things that's going on, and sometimes I miss the blessing. Sometimes I miss what the important thing is in the events and in the things that we do here at this church. Both, by the way, both of them are needed. You see, you got to have people that'll go around and make sure things are done right and things are going to flow smooth and things are taken care of, those kind of things. But you know what? What's important, though, is knowing the difference and knowing when it's important to do the work, but you also got to know when it's important to stop and get along with the Lord. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but like I said, I need help with the second part. I need help knowing when it's time to stop the work and just let it go, just quit on it, and get along with God and spend time with Him. Folks, listen, we need to learn from Mary, and we need to learn how to be more like her. A worshipful attitude. Both of these, like I said, both of these are important. But can I say that really, I guess really the reason that the Lord was correcting Martha here was because of her attitude. You see, I believe she was doing what God would have her to do. She was working, she was serving, she was doing what she should have done. But you know what? I believe she had the wrong attitude when she was doing it. And she got distressed because that Mary wasn't doing what she was doing. Well, you know, God's not called all of us to do what each other's does. We're to do our own thing. We're to do what God has for us to do. You know, all of us have individual things that we do. And can I just say this? If serving Jesus makes us difficult to live with like Martha, then there's something wrong with our service. All right? And so we need to be more like Mary. Let me give you three things here this morning, three events, three passages of Scripture that's going to talk about Mary, and it's going to show us something different about her each time. The first thing that we see here, and we find it here in this passage, is she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what is she doing? She's learning from Him. She's learning. Mary is listening to the Savior here. She's listening. And can I tell you, she is in a place here of learning. You see, can I just tell you that when we sit at Jesus' feet, not only is it important to understand the Word and read the Word and let God speak to our hearts, but folks, listen, we need to learn from the Word. Two different times somebody has prayed or somebody has said today about, Lord, change us when we hear the message. Lord, when the message is done, Lord, I want it to be said of me that You've changed me. Folks, listen, can I tell you, that's the goal of preaching. That's the goal of the Word of God, is to change us. We need to be changed. By the way, we should want to be changed. I don't want to stay like I am. I want to be better than what I am. I want to be more for God than what I am right now. And the only way we do that is when we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn of Him. Mary is listening to the Savior. Can I tell you, not only is it a place of learning, but it's a place of loving. You see, she wanted to spend time with Him. She wanted to get alone with Him. She wanted to be near Him. You know, can I just tell you that when we get near to God, when we get near to God, boy, I tell you, our hearts are opened up for what He has for us. You know, God, the Lord is always trying to teach us something. You know, every time the Word of God is open, every time you read a passage of Scripture, or every time you hear a passage of Scripture, or every time you come to church, anytime the Word of God is open, there's something to be learned about the Lord. Something to be learned. This is a place of loving. She wanted to be close to Him. She wanted to learn from Him, but she wanted to love Him also. Not only that, but it's a place of listening. You know, sometimes it's important to talk. Now, I emphasize prayer. That's when we talk to God. And prayer is important. And I believe we ought to spend time in prayer. I believe we ought to spend a lot of time in prayer. I believe we probably ought to spend more time than what we're already doing in prayer. We need to pray. And I'm not criticizing, I'm not talking about it. But folks, can I tell you, sometimes it's good not to talk. But listen. What is it that God's trying to say to me? What is it that God's trying to teach me here? Hearing what it has to say. You know, we could say, boy, wouldn't it have been nice to have been able to go to this house and sit at the feet of Jesus. I would raise my hand for that. Boy, I would have loved to have been there. I'd love to have been in that place where I could sit at His feet and hear what He has to say to me. But you know what? I can do the same thing right here. I can open up my Bible and I can hear and listen to what the Lord is saying. I can do that because He's provided. He's given us His Word. It's a place of listening, but also it's a place of learning. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter, chapter 11, He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know, we're to learn all we can about Jesus. I believe without a doubt that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and she was learning about the Lord. You know, can I tell you that I believe there's times like this, the times of these devotional times to where we get alone with the Lord. These are times that prepare us for the hard times. And we're going to see there that in the next two things, there's going to be some hard times in her life. There's going to be some difficult times in her life. And I believe the Lord, while she was sitting here, maybe she didn't know it, maybe she didn't understand everything, but I'm going to tell you what, God was preparing her for what lay ahead. There were some difficult times coming for her. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 11, if you would. John chapter 11. Let's look at another passage of Scripture here that talks about Mary. In John chapter 11, verse 32, the Bible says that then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, "Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid Him?" And they said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how He loved Him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of Him that was dead, said unto Him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, "Loose him and let him go." You see, here was a case to where Jesus knew exactly what was happening, what had took place. And He delayed it on purpose because He had something greater in mind. There was a greater plan in place there than what Mary had anticipated. Mary had called for Jesus. No doubt, Mary had prayed for Jesus. "Jesus, please come. Jesus, we need You. Jesus, we if You don't come, my brother's going to die." And then when He arrives, she said, "Lord, if You'd only been here. If You'd only been here." You know, isn't it interesting? You know, the Lord didn't have to be there for Him to heal him. He could have healed him from where he was at. He didn't have to be in their presence to do that, but He delayed it. You see, there was a greater plan in place there. You know, here we find Mary, and she's falling at the feet of Jesus. Guess what she's doing? She's looking for answers. Mary is troubled. There's a disappointment. There's a hurt that she's going through here because she feels like that maybe the Lord doesn't hear my prayer. You know, I don't know about you, but I faced that before in my own life. I'm sure you have too. There's been times I've prayed for people and I wondered why, "Lord, why don't You heal those people? Why didn't You heal those people?" And you know what? There's just times that he chooses not to. He chooses to let that person go the natural way of death, and He calls them on home to be with Him. Now, can I tell you, and I understand that when I say this, I know that, you know, we have feelings toward our loved ones. I've lost my dad and my mother. They were close to us, close to me, and I loved them, and I sure was sorry to see them go. But you know what? I was glad in a sense after I had got through it and got on the other side, and I looked back, I thought to myself, you know what? They're much better off than they were when they were here on this earth. You see, while they were here, they were subject to all kinds of physical problems. There were all kinds of problems that they were having to face and go through, and it was a difficult time for them. And you know what? The Lord called them home, and they're much better off where He's at than had He left them behind. But I don't, like I said, I don't choose to, and I don't think I understand everything about that. And I'm sure Mary didn't understand everything about this, but her prayer was, Lord, would you save my brother? Well, she didn't realize and she didn't know what Jesus was going to do. I guarantee she thought to herself, does Jesus really hear my prayers? But really, what she was saying was, does Jesus really care? You know, sometimes when the Lord doesn't answer our prayers, sometimes we think to ourselves, Jesus doesn't care. Jesus, he don't know what's going on in my life. He don't understand what's taking place in my life. And I don't even know if He even cares sometimes. Folks, can I just tell you, sometimes it's easy to see that. Sometimes it's easy to say that. And when we're hurting, sometimes we say things that really we don't mean. But can I tell you that there's never been a time when Jesus didn't care for us. There's never been a time when Jesus was not aware of what was going on in our life. Jesus does love us and Jesus does care. I wanted to see something here. And here's what Mary got to see. She saw that there was a discovery that helped her heal. She discovered that Jesus cared. You know, before, because she didn't see Him or Jesus wasn't close to them, she didn't know for sure, like I said, she didn't know if He cared. But when He came and she saw how He loved Lazarus, then she saw how much He cared. The Bible tells us in verse 35 here that Jesus wept. Not only did He weep, but the Bible says that He groaned in His spirit. He was troubled. I mean, you could see the brokenness of the Lord Jesus as He saw His friend Lazarus dead. He saw the heartbreak and the heartache of the two sisters there. And Jesus was affected by that. He was moved by that. And Mary was able to see how much Jesus really did care. By the way, not only did she see it, but all the folks around them, they saw it also. But she saw that. And then I want you to see the deliverance that helped her, all right? Look at verse number, if you would, look at verse number, turn back just a page there. Look at verse 15. Here is what the Lord said to His disciples. Verse 15, He says, I am glad for your sake that I was not there. In other words, I was not there to heal Lazarus, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. In other words, He's saying, listen, I'm glad that I wasn't there, but we're going to go and I'm going to raise him from the dead. And guess what? It's going to increase your faith. It's going to cause you to believe. Look at verse number 41. In verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. You know, here was Jesus praying to the Father. And by the way, He prayed out loud. Why did He pray out loud? He wanted the other people, He wanted everybody around there to hear His prayer, because when God answered His prayer, then those people would know, hey, truly, this must be God's only begotten Son. Listen, this must be Jesus Christ come in the flesh. He is God's Son in the flesh. He prayed to the Father, His Father heard Him, and He answered His prayer. All right? And so Lazarus was raised from the dead. But you know, we don't find anything in the Bible that was written after Lazarus was raised from the dead. We don't find anything written in the Bible that what Lazarus said or if he said anything. We don't know that. But can I tell you, Lazarus had a great testimony. You see, there were going to be people that were going to come. Not only those people there, they saw it. They were able to see it. And many of those people believe, but there's going to be, and we're going to read it a little bit later, there's going to be a great crowds of people that's going to come by to see him because he was the one, they'd heard that he was the one that had been raised from the dead. Lazarus, no doubt, had a great influence on a lot of people. But Mary was falling at his feet, and she's looking for answers. Now, I want to give you the third thing. Turn over to John chapter 12, verse number 3, if we could. Look at verse number, let's start back at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. And here we find Mary is at the feet of Jesus. This time, she's worshiping. She's bowing, and she's worshiping the Lord. Can I tell you that that worshiping and sacrifice go hand in hand? And so we see this sacrifice, and this sacrifice that she gave revealed how much she loved the Lord Jesus. There was a price that she was willing to pay. You know, over in the Old Testament in Samuel, David said this. There was a man that was wanting to give him when they was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And David had done it in the wrong way. And God had judged them because of that. He waited. He got counsel on what he was supposed to do. He comes back. And the Bible tells us that the man that the property, the Ark was on the property of, had told him, said, David, you take whatever you want. You take all these animals, you take the animals, you take the wood, you can take this land and you can have it at no price. And David said to him, he says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to offer God anything that doesn't cost me something. David knew the value of what we give to the Lord. Sacrifice means, the very word means, it's something that's going to cost us something. Most of the time, the Old Testament, the people in Bible days, when they sacrificed something to God, listen, it was something that was valuable to them. It was something that would have profited them, and I mean it was something that could have helped them and been a blessing to them, but they saw it as a way to express their love for God. And they would bring those sacrifices and they would give them to the Lord. And this sacrifice revealed the love, the depth of the love that she had for the Savior. You see, the Bible tells us that she took this container, whatever the container was that held this ointment, she took that and she broke it. Now, if she had meant, and by the way, I believe if she had wanted to, if she had just wanted to give him a little bit, I believe that would have been acceptable. I believe that would have been fine. I believe it would have been okay if she just gave him a little bit, but she didn't want to do that. She broke that box, indicating that she didn't care. She wanted it all to go to him. She was not going to save it for anything. By the way, this ointment was no doubt very expensive. Most folks believe it was as much as a year's salary that she had bought this for herself, thinking about the day that she was going to die, and they would use this to anoint her body at her death. But you know what? She said, it doesn't matter about me. Jesus is more important, and I want to give this to Him. I want to pour this out on Him. I want to lavish Him with this ointment. The Bible tells us here that there was a sweet fragrance that filled the house. And can I tell you, it was there for all to enjoy. I mean, can you imagine? Now, you know, when you think about Bible days, You know, not everything in Bible days was a pleasant time. I mean, you know, when you talk about sanitation, you talk about all the things there. You know, when you smelled something that was pleasant, when you smelled something that was sweet, something that was nice and pleasant, then, you know, it was a cause for rejoicing. It was a time to where you would look at it and it would make you happy. It would make you joyful to think about this fragrance and the beautiful odor that it gave out. But you know, we read the passage there to where not everybody was happy about that, was he? Judas wasn't happy about it. Why wasn't he happy about it? Well, he was a thief. The Bible says he was a thief. And he wanted that ointment to be sold. It was costly. It was valuable. He wanted it to be sold so he could steal the money from it. And this should have been something for everybody to enjoy, but you know what? This greed and envy caused these men to not enjoy the great sacrifice that had just been given out. We looked at three scenes there, and in all three of those scenes, there is a smell, there's an odor, there's a fragrance there. The first scene takes us back to a house, and where there was a meal prepared. And you know, the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, those things. You know, and we can imagine, or we can let our minds go a little bit here, and we walk into a house and we smell the smells of the house. Boy, you know, the wife has been in there, mom's in there, grandma's in there, she's cooking, and the house is filled with odors. You know what? It causes us to smile, causes us to be happy. Food, most of the time, is associated with times of happiness, joyfulness. Boy, you walk in there and you smell those smells and you think, man, this is going to be good. I can't wait. We're going to get some good food here. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of joy. Your family's going to get together. It brings back happy memories. The second scene that we see here was at the graveside. And it was the smell of death. And death, and the smell of death brings sorrow and brings unhappiness to our life, because we think about those that have died, and even though they went on with the Lord, we miss those folks. There's a sadness there. But can I tell you this third one here? There was a sweet smell. Then the Bible says that it filled the house, and it was a smell of sacrifice. These guys, they probably didn't understand, but Mary knew and Jesus knew what was taking place. You see, she had brought her very best. She had brought it to Jesus. She knew what she was doing. And, but folks, this was something that she did on purpose. I believe she was waiting for the time. I believe she was planning for the time that she was going to bring this and give it to the Lord. She wanted to show and demonstrate how much she loved Him. And she brings this and she brings it to Him and she bows at His feet. The Bible tells us here, not only did she bow at His feet, but she took her hair down. Now, this is just not something that the ladies in Bible days did. They didn't do that. They didn't take their hair down. But she took her hair down, and she took that, and she wiped the feet of the Lord. Now, I don't know what these men were thinking, but I'm telling you, Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus understood what was taking place here. And here was this lady, and she was doing the very best she could. She was doing all that she could. And she gave it all. And listen, why did she do that? Because she loved Him. Amen. And she wanted to sacrifice, and she wanted to give Him her very best, and she didn't care what it cost. Amen. I don't care. I'm going to give it all to Him. And can I tell you, that odor, whether these men, whether those disciples realized it or not, but the whole house was filled with that odor. And they smelled it. Man, what a sweet smell that was. Can I tell you, I don't have a doubt that smell lingered for a long time. It, for days, no doubt. And people maybe would come by and they would smell that smell and they would say, my, what's happened here? Why is this odor? What is this smell all about? And she would be able to tell them about that. I believe that smell, that perfume lingered in her hair. And she, no doubt, she could still smell that. And she would realize and she would understand what she had done, what had taken place. But you know, even more important than all that, I believe God in heaven. The Bible tells us that when sacrifices are given, And when that sacrifice was consumed with the fire, and it would go up, what would God do? He would smell it and He would say, I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased with that. There was a sweet smell of a sacrifice. And I believe God smelled that smell, that sweet perfume, that fragrance that filled the house. I believe God smelled it and He said, I'm pleased with what this lady did. Listen, she loved my son. She loved my son. Can I tell you that when we say Jesus understood, Jesus knew He's God, He understood, He knew that. You know what she said, what it was said about her? Leave her alone. What? She's done this for my burial. Do you know she learned somewhere, probably, I think, at the feet of Jesus, she learned that Jesus was going to go to the cross in a few days, and He was going to be crucified, and He was going to die on that cross. They would take Him off the cross, and they would have to hastily try to prepare His body for burial. And guess what? They were not going to be prepared for that. They were going to do it hastily, and like I said, not prepared. But you know what? I think she realized that. I think she knew that. And she says, you know what? He's not going to get the proper burial that he needs or he deserves. She says, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to prepare his body. I'm going to anoint his body for his burial. That's what Jesus said. And she did that beforehand, before time, because she understood, she had learned at Jesus' feet what it meant to worship and what it meant to love the Lord. You know, she went to the Lord that day. She went to worship the Lord. And she did. She did. Why are you here this morning? Are you here to worship the Lord? Are you here to bring sacrifice to Him? Are you here to demonstrate and show your love for Him? I hope so. I hope that's the reason you're here. You may be here and you're not saved. You don't know what it means to love the Lord. You don't know what it means to sacrifice and worship the Lord. Well, folks, can I just tell you, this is a great place to be if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We sure would like to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Christians, all of us need to be more like Mary. Listen, there just comes a time to when we say, enough is enough. I just need to get alone with the Lord and spend time with Him. Let's bow our heads.